Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. All right, praise the Lord, everybody. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I thank the praise team for blessing us the way they did. He heard my prayer, and because he heard my prayer, that's why we love the Lord. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Again, we want to thank the praise team for setting the table and blessing us with those beautiful, powerful praise songs. We're just blessed to have them share with us. Also, our wonderful pianist and our drummer, we thank God for each you as well for blessing us. And we just thank God for the praise and the worship today, all the way from the Sabbath school, even to now, how God has kept us and God has blessed us. We are blessed by God to be here today. And I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God for his keeping power. We are kept by God. And for that, we can say, thank you, Jesus. Well, again, we are privileged by God to hear from God. And I said before, when the Bible opens, you know, there are certain people that may never speak to you. But when the Bible is open, the great God of the universe speaks to us. And we have insight, wisdom, and knowledge that comes from him. And I'm just grateful today once again to open his word. And in spite of how bad we've been this week, in spite of what God has done, he's kept us and brought us here one more time. And so we want to thank God and praise God for his glory and grace. And today we just want to speak on the subject, why we should praise God. And I think they already sung it in the songs, talking about why we should praise God. And I know there's a reason why we should praise God, but I want to hammer it out a little bit more, why we ought to praise God. God has been so good to us. Can you say amen to that? Hasn't God been good to you? I mean, he kept you when you couldn't keep yourself. He watched over you. He brought you through some stuff. He brought you over some stuff. And he's going to keep on keeping on bringing you through the power by the power of God. And so I'm grateful today, once again, for the keeping power of God. And I just want to speak on a little while, for a little while, the subject, why we should praise God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, you have been merciful to us. You've been gracious, kind, and compassionate. And Lord, we're thankful and we're humbled to know that we're not here because of anything good we have done. We're not here because of how we performed this week. But we are here because your mercy endureth forever and ever. And so, God, we want to praise you right now for just giving us a mind that wants to turn towards you. We want to praise you for how you've kept us and watched over us. And now, Father, we pray that you would magnify your word as those who listen online and those who are here. As we open up the word of God, we pray that it would be so plain and simple and so clear that a child could not err. And then we'll give you the glory, we'll give you the honor for making the word so plain, so simple, so that we can walk in the light. And so that one day when you come back, and you are coming back, we can tell by the signs all around us that you are coming soon, even at the door. One day, soon and very soon, he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. And so, Father, I pray that in this preparatory moment, during this probationary time, that each one of us will examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And now as we open your word as a magnifying glass, may you search us and may you see what's in us. And then as a result of being in your presence, God, may we draw closer to you to be ready when you come. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said amen. All of God's people said amen. Amen and amen. You know, the Bible is such a wonderful, powerful book. The book of Psalms. In fact, the Psalms were written to bring happiness, hope, and deliverance for the people of God. And many of these psalms were written by David, and David had gone through so many ups and downs in his life. In fact, it was David who said, I'll encourage myself in the Lord. When David had gone through hardship, and when David had gone through drama and trauma, being that he was on the run as a fugitive from Saul, he was still able to worship God in spite of his circumstance. In spite of his surroundings, in spite of his condition, he was able to bless God and worship God no matter what was going on around him. And you know, you want to ask yourself that question, can I bless God and worship God when I'm going through drama? You know, we've asked some people today, how many of you had a rough week? People say, I had a rough week. But you know, in spite of your rough week, you know, God brought you through it. It didn't have to happen. God talked you through it. You know, some people did not even wake up this morning. Some individuals lost their lives. And yes, we are praying for those in California. Yes, we are praying for those in the Midwest. Yes, we are praying for those who are going through all type of horrific weather storms and all type of things that's happening. But you know, we ought to get to the place where, because God has kept us and blessed us, where we ought to praise God in spite of our circumstances and our situation. We've got to learn how to praise God no matter what goes on around us, because God cannot be defined by our circumstances. God cannot be defined by what happens to us, because God is in control. And no matter how bad it may appear, no matter how bad it seems, I'm so glad we serve the God of faithfulness, a God of goodness, a God of mercy, who keeps on blessing us in spite of. You know, I love it when it says in the Psalms, the 138th division. I'm going to go there, because right now, God wants to speak to us about praise. And in the Psalms, 138th division, this is how he starts off in the New King James Version. I love it. He says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Can you do that today? I will praise you with my whole heart. When you woke up this morning and you were able to step out of your bed and walk away from it, you should have started blessing the Lord right there. He kept you all night. Your lungs were functioning. Your heart was beating. Your brain was sleeping in a REM mode. But you were able to wake up this morning from an unconscious sleep, walk away from that bed that could have been your cooling board, but God woke you up clothed in your right mind, and you should be able to say, I will bless the Lord at all time. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, because God has been good to me. And the psalmist says it this way, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. In other words, he said, I've got a reason to praise God. I can praise God for his kindness. I can praise God for his truth. I can bless God for his kindness. There are some things I can praise God for in Psalms, the 138th division. He says, in fact, for you have magnified your word above your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me. That's why I like that song when they were singing. You heard my prayer. You heard my prayer. Not only did you hear my prayer, but you answered my prayer. And not only did you answer my prayer, but you brought me out and you brought me through. And that's why Paul says this light affliction that we're going through is only a moment, and it cannot be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. I want you to know, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through hardship. You're going to go through problems. Yes, you are. And it's going to be one thing after another. But I'm praising God right now, because in spite of all of this, God says his name is worthy to be praised. And notice what it says. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. And that's why the Bible says you'll mount up with wings like an eagle, and you're able to fly above your problems. He will not take your problems away from you, but he'll give you the ability to supersede and go above your problems. And that's like what God does. In other words, God does not take away your trouble, but he gives you the power to soar above your trouble. When everybody else is crying, when everybody else is wondering why me, you're able to say, though you slay me, I'm going to trust in you. You're able to say, weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. You're able to say, I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of God. You're able to say that I'm going to trust him. I'm going to lean on him with my whole heart, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge God. And you know, when you start doing that, something happens, and you can praise God and you can bless God. And I love what the psalmist says in here in Psalms 138. But as you continue a little further in the text, you'll find out why the psalmist can praise him. Notice here, Psalms 138 division. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear thy words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. In Psalms, The 138th division, I believe, is a prep to get you ready for what's coming in Psalms, the 139th division. In fact, 139th division of Psalms is one of the most popular psalms in the book of Psalms because it illustrates the perfect knowledge of God and the wisdom of God and the greatness of God. And the reason why I celebrate and the reason why I can worship God is because by the time you get into Psalms, 139th division, you'll discover something about God. In fact, there's some lessons we can learn in this psalm. Number one, we are intimately known by God. Number two, we are purposefully made by God. Number three, God is in control. Number four, we are never alone. And number five, judgment belongs to God. Now, I know that sounds all right to you and that sounds great, but there is more of a reason why we ought to be able to praise God in spite of our circumstance. You know, it's one thing to say that, but to illustrate it, to help us understand why, begins give us a bigger picture. In other words, the psalmist says in the 139th division, and you can read it along with me. Notice what he says in verse 1. In verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts are far off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And he says, you know all of this about me, and yet and still you know where I am. And that's what he's saying here. In other words, the first reason why we ought to be able to praise God is God knows exactly where you are. Now, you might say, well, I know he does. No, I'm not talking about just physically. I'm talking about he knows the mindset that you have right now. He knows the mood in which you are living right now. He knows the attitude you have about him right now. And he still allows us to come into a place to worship him, knowing that our minds may not be in alignment with him, but he's able to love us in spite of ourselves. And that's why I heard the text this morning, God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, out of all the people in the world, Christ knows right where you are right now. Amen. And why is that important? Because sometimes you can feel so discouraged. Sometimes you can feel so taken back by life that you fail to realize that you are not alone, that there's somebody who cares about you. And sometimes you go through trials and you wonder, does anybody know what I'm going through? Does anybody care what I'm going through? Does anybody sympathize what I'm going through? Well, I want you to know right now, you serve a God, no matter what anybody else says about you, no matter anything else somebody feels about you, God knows right where you are right now. And what's your attitude about? I don't know. What's your life about? But I know this, God knows you. He knows where you are. He knows where I am. Yes, he does. He knows your circumstance. He knows your situation. He knows your burdens. He knows your trials. He knows your ups and your downs. He knows everything about you. And that's why the psalmist says, the reason why I can praise God is because he knows where I am. He knows me. In fact, you say, well, that's easy. Don't you know there's 8 billion people in the world's population? 8 billion people, and God knows where I am. 350 million in the United States, and God knows where I am. 22 million right here in Florida alone, and God knows where I am. 39,000 here in Winter Springs, Florida, and God knows where I am. In other words, it doesn't matter. God knows you and God sees you. And because he sees you, you're on his heart. And he's been carrying you on his heart for a long time. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord and praise him because not only does he know where I am, he's acquainted with all my ways. Don't you know God knows the thoughts you're going to think before you think the thought? Don't you know God knows the activity you're going to perform before you perform that activity? You see, I'm preparing for a shout because here the psalmist is saying God knows everything about me. There is not a word in my tongue that he doesn't already know. In other words, he already knows you're going to curse somebody out tomorrow. Not you all, it was another church. I'm sorry, I got it bad. God already knows some of the things you're going to say next week. He saw the things you said last week. He knows what you're going to say, and yet and still, God keeps on loving us. For behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me about before and behind. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I can't understand how you know me and still want to love me. I mean, can you imagine? There are some folk who know you and don't want to have anything to do with you. They'll write you off. They'll tell you, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But don't you know God loves you and will never write you off? God will never cut you short. God will never turn his back on you. And the reason why I'm saying that is because here the psalmist is saying, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And wherever I go, you are there. If I make my wings in the mornings, you are there. If I dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, you are there. And even your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. I'm just so glad I serve a God no matter where I go. If I'm walking in the darkest of midnight, if I'm going through trials and tribulations, he said, I'm with you. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is with us, and he knows where you are right now. And because he knows that, that ought to bring you consolation. That ought to bring you encouragement that no matter what I go through, God is going to be with me because he knows where I am. Praise God for that. Amen. Aren't you glad God knows where you are? He knows you. In other words, don't feel alone because he's with you. He wants to carry you. And sometimes trials come. And I say it again, trials come in order to purify us from some dross. Trouble comes because God is trying to bring us through something. And sometimes we are processed because we must go through some pressure in order so that we might shine. You know, they tell me that the thing between gold and brass is that you rub them a certain way. One will shine and one will stink. And every now and then, God allows us to be rubbed with life issues so he can see whether or not we're going to shine in spite of it. You see, when the devil throws something at you, you ought to begin to say, is that all you got? When trials come, you ought to start thanking the Lord for the trials. You ought to thank the Lord for the high and for the low. You ought to begin to bless the Lord in spite of. And don't you know you have the devil scratching his head? I don't know. I just caused him to lose his job and he's still blessing the Lord. I just gave him a raise. He's still blessing the Lord. He just wrecked his car. He's still blessing the Lord. He just went through trials. He's still blessing the Lord. Because you've gotten to the point where you don't allow circumstances to dictate how you feel about God, because you know God's feelings about you. Where is he? I know he's with me. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. I'm not going to keep you long, but I want you to understand the first point is in Psalms, the 139th division, verses 1 through 12, God knows where you are. And I always say, praise God. I'm glad he knows. You can't hide from God. I used to think, you know, because of all these people on the planet, you can hide from God and God might miss you. But no, he knows right where you are at all times. There's never a time where God doesn't know where you are. There's never a time where God is not thinking about you. There's never a time when God is not thinking about your welfare. It says here, if I say, surely darkness shall fall on me, and even the night shall be light about me, indeed, darkness shall not hide me from him. And no darkness, what I'm talking about sometimes, is not just darkness of night, but darkness of discouragement, darkness of depression, darkness of feeling alone, darkness of feeling like I'm all by myself. In other words, that will not keep God from being God. And today I need to recognize that if I'm going to serve him, I've got to praise him because he's with me and he knows where I am at all times. In other words, God knows me. And not only that, the second thing is God not only know where I am, but according to verse 13, God know who I am. In fact, it says, for you form me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In other words, God says, I know everything about you. And think about it. Don't you know you are 1 in 44 trillion to be here? You say, wait a minute. In other words, one out of 444 trillion, you are not an accident. God knew you before you were even created and knew everything about you before you were even formed. In fact, listen to what the Bible says. For you were formed in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I will praise God because of your marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you. In other words, not only do you know where I am, but you know who I am. Wow. And not only does he know who I am, he said, I know your inward parts. I know everything there is about you, not only knowing where you are geographically, not only knowing where you are emotionally, not only knowing where you are physically, not only knowing where you are spiritually, but I know your very inward parts. I know everything about you. And the text says, and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth, and your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Now, can you imagine? You have a God who knows you before you were ever formed. I mean, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I had a pre-existence? No. God knew you before you ever came into existence, because he had you always in his mind and on his heart. There has never been a time when God has not been carrying you on his mind and in his heart. And it comes to a point in history where he says, now I want to roll you out in time, because I want to love on you like I've never loved on anybody before. And you become the apple of his eye, because not only does he know where you are, but he knows who you are. Just recently, I purchased this desk. And I purchased a desk. And as you know, when you get a piece of furniture, you have to assemble it. And when I've got this desk, it has a manual. And the first thing I do is I look at the picture, Kevin, to see what it looks like. But I mean, sometimes when you look at all these parts, it can become so discouraging, because you say, okay, wait a minute, how many? And then it tells you to count the parts to make sure you have them all before you put it together. And I look at it, and it tells me how many things I have in this one, or how many things I have in this one. And then it shows me the tool that I need to put it together. And all these different parts are in my mind, but I don't have the ability to be able to just put it together unless I follow the manual or the instructions. Now, as smart as I think I am, I've got to look when it says one step, step two, step three, step four. And then when I get to the end, I finished it. I put it all together, and behold, after I had taken it out of the box, I noticed that one piece was missing that caused it. It was called an elevator. In fact, it's called an elevator. No, not elevator, but it's called an adjuster, which caused it to balance underneath. It's a little screw that caused it to be balanced. Now, if you didn't have that, it's going to wobble. And so that one little screw out of the whole package, I mean, it was a large box, was missing. And when I finished it, I noticed that it was missing. After I finished it. Now, if I had known before, I would have never put it together. I would have said, wait a minute, I can't put it together because that one thing is missing. After I had finished the whole project, one thing was missing. It causing it to tip a little bit. And don't you know, I want to say that God knew every part. And before he put us together, he didn't need an assembly. He didn't need to know how to do it, because everything he needed was already in his mind. So when he put us together, there was nothing missing. But with us, we are now missing something. And that one thing that we're missing might cause us to lean and tip a little bit. And behold, you know what I did? I went back to the store and I said, look, I got this little thing that's missing and I need that. And they said, well, unfortunately, we don't have it here. You got to call the manufacturer. You got to go through customer service. And it was just something that small. And at first I said, I'm not going to do all of that. I'm just going to let it, be what it is. But then I called them. I told them the number of it. I told them the serial number. I told them everything about it, because it bothered me, because this thing could not function because something was missing. And I want to tell you today, you know what? God is not going to rest if something is missing in your life until you have everything you need so that you can function the way you ought to function. I'm so glad we serve a God who knows us enough to know that if something is missing in our life, we will never function to full completion. One thing, that's why the Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. We were never made to live without God because we were made to live for God and by God. And without God, we'll never, ever be happy. And that's why the psalmist says, I will praise him because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And God did not need a manual. God did not need instruments. He noticed, it says here, and in your book they were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. In other words, there was no parts, but you knew me. There was nothing yet to put me together, but you knew me. Can you imagine how awesome a God is like that? I want that to settle and sink into your spirit. He knew you when you were actually not you. He knew you before you showed up. And the psalmist says, I'm praising him because he knows where I am. And he knows who I am. And because of that, I want to bless the name of Jesus. But see, the psalmist doesn't stop there, my brothers and sisters. Not only does he say he knows where you are in verses 1 through 12, but then in verses 13 through 16, he says, I know who you are. So now think about it. He knows where I am. He knows who I am. But then the Bible says in verse 17, if you put it up, verse 17, and notice what it says. I want you to see it in the screen. This is what God says in verse 17. He comes to this part right here. He says, not only do I know where you are, not only do I know who you are, but listen to how God feels about you. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me. Now, I don't know about you, but when I saw that just shouted. In other words, God knows where I am. God knows who I am, but then he says, I want you to know how I feel about you, the way you are. God speaks to us and says to us, sometimes we're harder on ourselves than we need to be. God says, I know where you are. I know who you are. I know because of who you are and where you are, what you do and when you do it. I know everything about you. I know your life may not be what you want it to be, but I want you to know how I feel about you, even though you may not feel the same. In other words, my perfect knowledge about you does not keep me from loving you in spite of you. In other words, I know everything about you, and I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with a love that will not quit. I need you to know how I feel about you. And that's why John could say, what manner of love is this, that God would bestow his love on us and call us sons and daughters of God before we are worthy to be called a son and daughter of God? In other words, I know you, and I've called you, and I've drawn you a cords of kindness. Notice what the text says. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. In other words, God, your thoughts are so incredible about me. I don't need to walk around with my head down. I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to be down and out. I don't need to be despondent. What I need to recognize is that when there's somebody who knows where I am, knows what I'm doing, know when I did it, know my thoughts, know everything about me, and yet it still can steal love on me like that. You see, most of us, not those of you who are here, but most people in somewhere else, somewhere at time, they may have a mask on, and you may enjoy the mask more than you enjoy the person. You may not even know them. And sometimes we wear masks because we are afraid, if I take the mask off, will you still be able to love me? Will you still like me? If you saw me at my lowest, if you saw me in the raw, if you really know how bad and raunchy I was, you would still love me. There's a God who loves us, and he knows how undone we are. He knows how raunchy we are. He knows our evil thoughts and our wicked deeds. And we may dress up on Sabbath and come to church in the morning and in the afternoon. Happy Sabbath. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my God. But then the Lord of heaven knows how evil I am. He knows how ugly I am, and when nobody else sees me, he sees me, but yet and still he says, how precious are my thoughts about you. I still love you with an everlasting love, and I don't want the devil to tell you anything else. I will never stop loving you. I will never put you down. And God says, your thoughts are precious. Can you understand what the Bible says? Listen what it says in Isaiah, and I'm almost done. In other words, I just want you to know, you serve a God who knows where you are, who you are, and his thoughts are still thoughts of love. I mean, I can't imagine that. Sometimes people want to beat you over the head how bad you are, but the Bible says love begets love, and it is the mercy of God that draws us. It is the grace of God that lifts us. It is the compassion of God that builds us up. I need to know this: there's somebody who loves me in spite of me. I need to know that in spite of what I've done, in spite of where I've gone, in spite of where I am, can I still be loved? And I want to tell you right now, you can still be loved because God's thoughts are different than our thoughts. He says, my ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth are my ways about you. I don't feel the same way about you the way you feel about yourself. Listen to what Isaiah 53:4 says. Since thou was precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for your life. Listen to what Jeremiah 31:3 says. The Bible says here, he says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee. This is what God says. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. In other words, somebody asked the question, when do you forgive somebody? After they have said they're sorry, after they show contrition, after they feel forgiveness? No. God says, it is my loving kindness that I use to draw you from where you are. God doesn't wait for you to get right. He said, it's because of my goodness and my mercy that comes and find you where you are. Like the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to himself. In other words, he came to the realization that his father loved him. And my brothers and sisters, I declare, it's not until a person comes to that epiphany and recognize that God loves you no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, no matter where you are, he wants to love on you, because the only way you're going to get better, the only way you're going to grow in grace, the only way you're going to come out of your mess is somebody has to draw you with loving kindness. Somebody got to pull on the heartstring of your love. Somebody got to help you understand that your love is not predicated on what you do, but predicated on who you are. I love you with an everlasting kindness. Notice what it says here, and they can begin to play. Come on, come on. Jeremiah 29, this is what it says. I know the thoughts I think about you. God says, I know how I feel about you. The Bible says sin makes you run when nobody's chasing you. But God says, I'm a hound of heaven. And just in Genesis, he's been chasing after humanity because he wants a relationship with us. He said, I know how I feel about you. I know what I think about you. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let somebody write you off. Don't let somebody tell you you can't get better. Don't let somebody tell you you won't get better. I want you to know that you will get better and you will overcome and you will have power to live right. I know the thoughts I think towards you. He says, thoughts of peace. That's what God wants, thoughts of peace. God wants a truce. Can you imagine that? God says, come on now, let's reason together. Come now, let's talk about it. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be crimson, I want to fix you. I want to give you a reason to live. He says, my thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a future. That's what God says to us today. I know where you are. I know what you've done. I know where you've been. You can come on back home. Woo, that's good news right there. Because see, sometimes, like the prodigal son, he said, I'm just going to tell my daddy. He started practicing. He said, well, I'm going to let him just hire me as a servant. I'm going to say I'm sorry. And afar off, when his son was coming, the man ran after him. And that's the love of God. He wants to come after you today. But he waits on us. Because the Bible says when he came to himself, I like to believe that the prodigal son had blamed everybody about his circumstance. He probably blamed his parents. He probably blamed his condition, his upbringing. Maybe if I had parents who loved me, maybe if I had somebody who cared about me, maybe if I had somebody that would have loved on me a little bit more, he could have had a lot of reasons. But the Bible says here was his breakthrough. He came to himself. And I like to believe it wasn't just a mental state. I like to believe that when it says he came to himself, he looked in the mirror and he said, it's me. It's me. I'm the problem. I ran from God. I'm the one hiding from God. He already knows where I am. He knows who I am. And he still loves me. Wow, that was the breakthrough right there. He knows where I am. I'm in a pig's pen. He knew I would be there because outside of him, there's no peace. Outside of him, there's no happiness. Outside of him, I might look like I'm happy. I might look like I'm doing good, but it's camouflage misery. I might smile and speak to everybody, but inside of my heart, if God is not on the throne of my heart, I'll never be at peace with myself. And so God knows where I am, and he understands where I am, and he knows outside of him, I'll never rise to the level where he created me for, and it's because something is missing. That one piece is keeping me from having that joy. This is what he says in Ezekiel. This really blows my mind right here, and I'm quitting. It says, he says, as I pass by, your homework, read Ezekiel chapter 16. He says, as I passed by, it was like I was taking a walk, and he says, I saw you. No eye pitied you to do any of these things. Nobody cared about you to have compassion on you. You was cast out in the open field, in the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou was born. In other words, you were created jacked up. You were born messed up. You were born with the monkey on your back. You were born with sin in your life. You were born with issues, idiosyncrasies. You were born. That's what he says in verse 5. You were born. The day you were born, you showed up with a malfunction. But I'm so glad there's a total recall that God says, if you bring your issue back to me while the time allows, called probationary, I'll fix your problem. And notice he says, when I pass by thee, this is what God says. This is a love story, the drama of all ages. Verse 6, when I passed by thee and I saw you polluted in your blood, I said to you, when thou was in your blood, in other words, the Bible says life is in the blood. When I saw you in your life, when I passed by and I saw you there, this is what God says, live, live. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You weren't created to die. You were created to live forever, to be my friend. He said, when I saw you, I said, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. In verse 7, I caused thee to multiply. This is found in Ezekiel 16. I called you to multiply, and thou was increased and waxing great. Thou art come to excellence. In other words, God says, when I saw you and when I passed by and I started loving on you, your life began to grow. You became blessed. Now when I passed by thee, verse 8, I looked upon thee and I said, behold, the time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness. That's what he did on Calvary. He became naked so we can become clothed. He says, yeah, I swear unto thee, I entered into a covenant with you, saith the Lord God. And notice what the verse says. Are you there in verse 8? If you watch, he says, and you became mine. God says, you became mine. You now became mine. You belong to me now. You're mine. That's what God says. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how you feel about yourself. I don't care how low you think you have gone. I want you to know today, this is the word here, January the 18th, 2025. I want you to know as you move forward, God knows where you are. He knows who you are. He knows how you feel about yourself. And he says, I got precious thoughts about you. And I want you to know when I saw you the day you were born, I saw you in your life. I said, live. And I said, come on now. You belong to me now. And because you're mine, I'm going to love on you. I'm going to take you in the palms of my hand. I'm going to love you with an everlasting love. And today, how many want that love? How many want to receive that love today? Just raise your hand up. You want to receive that love and say, yes, God, I got a reason to rejoice. I've got a reason to praise you. I got a reason to love you back because you first loved us. We can love you, God. And today, right now, all I'm saying is we have a reason to worship. We have a reason to praise God. Today, I don't know who you are. As I close, thanks to God, I want to say again, I'm so glad I serve a God who knows where I am. I can't state that enough. He knows where you are. He knows who you are. But you know what he wants? Sabbath school lesson that Daph was bringing out today, he says, what can we do to please God? Give him our life. What does that mean? We give him access to fix our brokenness. And you know what God says? I'm jealous because can't nobody do you like I can do you. And it hurts me when I see you settling for second best that this world has to offer. Nothing. The Bible says it this way. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? My brothers and sisters, today we can rejoice because, number one, God knows where I am. God knows where I am and God knows who I am. And then after I say those two things, he knows where I am. He knows who I am, and he still wants a relationship. I don't know, but that's humbling. He still wants to hang out with me. He still wants to love on me. He still offers me life abundantly. He still says, I'll give you a peace that passeth understanding. He still says, I'll cover you with my righteousness. He still says, in spite of what you have done, I can fix it. Man, I got to have that relationship. I want a God like that because I don't even like me sometimes. Sometimes I'm discouraged and taken back by me. But he says, I know you. I know your thoughts. I know everything about you. And guess what? I still want a relationship with you. I don't know about you, but I know in life there's some things that you can accomplish. And there's some things you can have. But it's nothing like having the peace of God. It's nothing like knowing I'm at one with my Maker. And brothers and sisters, today that's what God offers each one of us. Do you want to make it right with him? Do you want to walk with him? The Bible says two cannot walk together unless they agree. It's time to agree with God. I'm a sinner, lost, in need of a Savior. Without him, I can't make it. Today, I want to pray over you. If you recognize today you want God in your life, won't you just stand with me as I pray that you'll continue to walk with him. I really don't know your journey, don't know your trials, don't know your situation, but I know that because you were born on planet Earth, you were born in sin like me, but we need a Savior. We need a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We need somebody that can love us in spite of us. And that's why we're standing. We just said, God, I have a reason to praise you because you can love me knowing me and still love me. What manner of love is this? For just 30 seconds, there may be somebody else who want to say, I need to give my life to him. I need to walk with him. In fact, I need Bible studies maybe and baptism. I need him as my personal Savior. If that's you today, won't you just raise your hand and I'll recognize you. And I'll talk with you even after this service. God bless you. I see one hand. You raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Say, God, I want a relationship. I want to go deeper. I want to go further. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want Bible studies. I want to learn how I can become a member of the church and walk with you in wholeness. I see another hand. I'm praying for those of you. 10 seconds. Somebody else. You want to say, Lord, I need you as my Savior. I need to be baptized. I need to walk with you. Praying for you right now. Father God, we've seen the hands of two young people today who raised their hand. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to move upon their hearts even now. There may be someone online who's watching who realized that they don't have to run any longer. 139th division of Psalms has spoken. God says, I know where you are. I know who you are. And I still love you. Father God, I thank you for this love that will not quit. We got some issues. Those are symptoms. They are there because we really don't trust you like we should. Enoch walked with you for 300 years, and he was not. And Father, whatever we are now, if we keep walking with you, we become a was not. I used to be lost, but now I'm saved. A was not. Father, give us victory over areas of our lives that dominate us right now. Somebody might be dealing with a habit. Somebody might be dealing with an issue. that they cannot control. But today, Father, we surrender it to you. And we ask you to forgive us. We ask you to cleanse us. And we ask you to save us. But we ask it in the matchless, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for your amazing grace. And again, thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for those who are standing. May you continue to walk and work in their lives so that they can feel your presence and know that they're not alone. Keep us, for we cannot keep ourselves. And we thank you for your power to live for you. In Christ's name, everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. Please be seated. Please be seated.